That's all.
That's the Zold Amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. Somebody help me out. I'm looking for January. Does anybody know where January went? January 17th already. You gotta be kidding me. That's where we are. Time flies. Time flies, especially when you're having fun, and we've been having a lot of fun. Hey, we've got a guest this morning. You don't want to miss it. Pastor Ashton Yogden. I hope I got that right. A pastor who was arrested outside of drag queen hour at the local library in Spokane, Washington. He's going to be joining us here in a second. You know, it's getting into a crazy couple weeks here for us. And man, oh man, you know, we just got back from being down there with Alan Hoyle. We talked about that all day yesterday in the show. See, listen, we have a legal system. We don't have a justice system, folks. We don't have a justice system. And we're going to have to make the decision whether or not we as Christian men are going to continue to fall under an ungodly, unrighteous justice system, legal system, or are we going to rise up and do something about it? And do you think that if we're in this war where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, this spiritual war that manifests itself in the natural, if you think that we're going to win that battle only by prayer, you're greatly deceived.
Amen.
Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we know from Psalm 2 that the kings of this earth, kings of this world, conspire against the Lord and his anointed. Who might that be? Who might be the Lord's anointed? Who might that be? Well, I believe that's every born-again believer when they actively take their, dare I say it, when they take their faith into the danger zone. That's the anointed believer. That's the one the Lord anoints. And if you, people are sitting, I think men are dying in church. They're dying in churches. And they're dying in churches because they don't know. They don't know what they're supposed to do. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I work in the parking lot. I'm an usher. They don't have any idea. None of those things have anything to do with what's going on in the world. This wrestling that we have, this picture of a big-time wrestling, throwing guys against the buckle and grabbing them and throwing them across into the ropes and jumping down. We're in a wrestling match. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom. And I think that men's hearts are not hard after the Lord because they don't even know what that means anymore. I don't think men are afraid. I mean, we're all afraid, right? We all battle fear. You're crazy if you're not afraid. But I don't think that's as much the issue as it is confidence. Men don't know what to do. They go to church and they hear their pastor telling them that they're supposed to love everybody and just sit down and do friendship evangelism and rub everybody on the back and tell them what a brave little Christian they are and just sit it till the rapture comes. And that's the mentality that's swept across this nation. So we were down in Charlotte, North Carolina a couple days ago because Alan Hoyle, wouldn't you know it, shows up at a homosexual parade. I don't want to say pride parade because I used to tell our kids in school, there's something wrong. You guys are ashamed of what y'all to be proud of, and you're proud of what y'all to be ashamed of. Who ever heard of a homosexual pride? What does that even mean? Pride cometh before a fall. And so Alan Hoyle said, I'm going to go because I love the Lord. Because I am his soldier, a soldier of the cross, Alan Hoyle said, I'm going to go confront that wickedness. And he did. And, of course, we know what happened. They arrested Alan Hoyle. Now, why did they arrest Alan Hoyle? Well, they wanted to shut him up. But it was even more than that, my friends. See, they arrested Alan Hoyle because they want to make sure you don't try the same thing. Of fear and intimidation, right? And we know that the Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What's a sound mind? The sound mind is the ability to look at something and say, you know, that's wrong. I ought to do something about it. That is a sound mind. The Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, men walking in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina with I always forget that word. What chaps? That what it is. Chaps. Those leather chaps. Men walking in the streets of any town in America with chaps on and their bare hind end showing. That ain't a sound mind. And even worse than that, it ain't a sound mind if you sit there and you think it's okay. And you think it's okay. Why? Because you've swallowed that spirit of fear. Well, don't get me gone, although I already am. So now we're getting ready to go ahead to Richmond, Virginia. My head's spinning. I apologize to anybody out there who logistically we've dropped the ball on you about where to meet us, how to get there. If you don't know, email me. Coach, I want to go. Where do we meet? Coach, I don't know. Where are we staying? Email me that and we'll get that straightened out because we're going to leave on Sunday. We're going to go down to Richmond, Virginia. And we're going to stand, not because we are – see, the media is amazing, aren't they? They just frame everything they want to. Folks, do you understand that the right to keep and bear arms is a God-given right, an unalienable God-given right as spoken about in our U.S. Constitution? The Bill of Rights, First Ten Amendments, the right to speak, and then the gun protects your right to speak. Your right to assemble, your right to have thoughts. The gun does that. The weapon protects that, right? And that unalienable right shall not be infringed and cannot be taken away by government. It can't be any more clear than that. That's what the First Amendment, Second Amendment's all about. So those of us in the church, we're scared of guns. We think, I don't know, we don't believe it when Jesus said, sell your coat and go get a sword. We think he must have been drunk that day or something. He didn't really, really mean that. And that we're supposed to be passive. And Gandhi's told us that we're to love the sinner and hate the sin and all that stuff. And we don't even understand what it means to be a Christian man. I told somebody yesterday, we were talking about the death penalty. They asked, do you believe in the death penalty? I said, well, God did. Read the Bible. He believed in it. His own son got the death penalty. Yeah, he believed it. Jesus hanging on the cross. And that thief on the cross said to him, the one thief said, save us. If you're the Son of God, save us. Get it down from here. What a great opportunity for Jesus to go into a great explanation of why the death penalty would be wrong. Couldn't he have said, oh, yeah, you're right. We do not deserve this. This is so wrong, and we have got to stop this. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, well, the other thief said, we're getting what we deserve. Jesus didn't speak up and say, no, you're not. No, we're not. No, this is so wrong. No, no, no. Now, he didn't say that, did he? Because why? He demands justice. God demands justice. So we're going to go down, stand with our brothers down in Virginia because the Second Amendment is the protection of the first. If you think, my friends, that we will maintain freedom of religion in America if our ability to defend ourselves is taken away, you're a drunken sailor. You're a drunken sailor. And if you can't see the connection of those two things, and look how the media tries to paint those of us who simply want to stop the infringement of our right to bear arms. We're the radicals. We're the radicals. The radicals aren't the guys taking away the guns. Oh, they're not radical. No, no, no. Understand the way the media plays this. And for those out there who can, we would appreciate your prayer. We covet your prayers because we are going into the lion's den. I really believe that. And I'm not worried about the guys on our team. I don't mean our team. I mean the good guys. I'm not worried about them. It's the infiltration. It's who the devil may send in our midst and what they may try to do down there. So we just pray that God would be glorified in everything that happens down there. If you would like to go, if I've dropped the ball on you in any way, let me know. It's going to happen on Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Okay. Wow. 10 minutes already. Anybody, anything to add to anything there that any ball that I dropped? Because I want to get Pastor Afshin in here real quickly.
Let me speak real quickly on Richmond. I put some information in the chat, Coach. Okay. They can call you. They can call me. But this is a good event to come and assemble and basically see what's going on and support a true cause. Jesus has to cover us, Coach.
That's right.
We're in a situation where there's so many variables. that we can't cover them all. We've got to rely on our own wit. We got to rely on our own ability. You want to show up and be prepared to be alone just in case. That means if you do get separated or something happens, you got to be able to make it to wherever you can be, get yourself out of there. So consider once you get there, you don't have transportation and you got to make your way home. Just keep that in the back of your mind. That's the worst it could be, but we're going to have vans and things like that. You are coming in, but you want to be able to make your way back to your vehicle safely or your home safely, wherever that is. So just throw that out there, Coach. Thank you.
But Mark, the reality is you may not make it home safely, folks. You might have a flat tire on the way down there. Somebody might be texting and cross the median. There's tomorrow's promise to no man. But we have got to get to the point where we don't show up because we're afraid. We got to get past that, man. We got to get past that. And I appreciate all the work that you've done down there, Mark, and Joseph and some others. Yeah, come on in.
Do we still want to have a, for those that aren't going to be there until Monday, do we still want to have them participate in y'all's meeting you're going to have in Richmond on Sunday night via Google Meet?
Larry, let's do this. Somebody else make the call on that. Because here's why I say that. Because I might still be traveling. I may not be there, right? So, Larry, if you're going to do that, then you help organize everybody on – am I making sense, Larry?
Right. I think Mark Trump is going up – yeah, Mark Trump is going up a day earlier or so.
Mm-hmm. So
you would be the logical one for me to zero in on.
Yeah.
And for you to have a laptop so that you can have a laptop set up.
Yeah.
Sunday, Joseph and I are going to be there Saturday night. Sunday, we're going into the town. And we're going to have a meeting if people are there.
Okay.
So if no one's there, there's not going to be a meeting.
Yeah.
But if there is a meeting
there of the people on the ground, I think it would be nice if those of us that aren't showing up until Monday, if we could be with y'all in that meeting via a Google Meet.
Well, that's good.
All you need is have a laptop, and I will send you
Larry,
an email
Larry,
and you'll hook up.
When are y'all getting there to the hotel? I don't know. I don't know when anybody's coming to town. And I don't know what hotel y'all are going. The point is Sunday night, people are going to be arriving. I don't know when they're going to. Nobody's told me when they're arriving for any kind of meeting. This isn't disorganized. This is not our event.
Okay.
Let's do this in the after show. By the way, Mark, Kenneth Hall's coming. Maybe you could give him a call. He's flying all the way in from Omaha. So maybe you could connect with him.
Monday morning, we'll definitely have a meeting. Sunday night, we're going to play it by ear. Larry, I'll coordinate with you, and we'll try to get word out. How do we get word out, Coach?
We'll use our website. We'll blast it out off of our email. I'm glad to do that.
Okay, so let's do this. Everybody go check Coach's website. Say at 7 p.m. Sunday night. Check Coach's website, 6 to 7 p.m. We'll try to get some information up there if we're going to have a meeting, okay? I'll coordinate with Larry. So that'll finalize that decision. 6 to 7 p.m. If you don't see something on the event section for the Virginia Gun Rally on Coach's site, if you don't see instructions, that means we're having a meeting Sunday, okay, or Monday morning before we go. That means everybody will make it in. We'll meet, then we'll go.
Okay. If anybody is in the situation where they can't make the Sunday meeting, if they have one, and you want to attend, if we can set it up, send me your email. And I will open a room and send you the link to the room if it happens.
Amen. Except Larry, folks, go through me. That's too many emails, too many people to contact. Email me, and I'll direct you to where you have to go. Hey, listen, we got a guest with us today, Pastor. I learned about Pastor Afshin Yadtin. I always get my brain right wrong. When I was in Oregon last summer, I heard about this guy who had been arrested outside of the drag queen hour there. I think it was in Spokane. Randy Mitchell was at a meeting that I was at, put me onto it. So I began to get an inkling of who this guy was and what had happened. And they arrested him, and he's joining us here this morning. And I want him to be able to walk us through this. And so that we can just kind of in our own mind figure out how are we supposed to do this. So Pastor Afshin, I'm going to call you Afshin. What the heck? How did you end up at that drag queen hour? Now stop him. Let me explain to you why I asked that question. Because the truth of the matter is, Pastor, we can't get pastors to do anything. The fact that you would even show up to me is like people need to get out the bands and start pounding on the drums and blowing horns that a pastor actually showed up. Did you get lassoed into this thing, Pastor? What took you to this drag queen hour that you're looking for?
God. Okay, perfect. So you guys can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Well, great to be on, Coach. Thanks for having me on. What a great show, just listening in with all the important stuff that you guys are doing. That's an encouragement to me to see other men of God standing up and telling others to stand up too, because that's exactly the problem. That's exactly why we're in the condition that we're in today in the United States of America, and that's an issue, you know. So thanks for having me on. As far as the drag queen event, I mean, you're absolutely right. Just to get churches and pastors mobilized nowadays is like pulling teeth. It's so hard. It's almost impossible. But for me, what happened is, you know, I'd been to protests at, let's say, Planned Parenthood or sidewalk counseling there and out preaching the gospel. We'll go door to door or in the parks and the universities. I mean, we'll go out and bring the grace gospel, the free gift of salvation to people, the real gospel out there. And I'd never been to any kind of LGBT protest or anything like that, because I just pretty much stayed away and just focused in on our ministry, on the gospel, on fighting abortion, on these things. But now for the first time ever in Spokane history, the drag queens were coming into town. And when it comes to targeting our children and using our tax money to do it, to me that crossed some major lines with the LGBT, you know, community and all of that. So for me, I felt compelled. I couldn't just sit here in our town and preach from behind my pulpit about how wrong all of this is and not show up myself. I would be a hypocrite, you know. So I felt like I had to go. I had no other choice. So I showed up and you know, part of the story from there. But I'll just stop for a minute if you guys have any questions, or I could just go right into what happened here.
They will have some questions. Let me stop right there, Pastor. So was there a network of people who called you and say, Pastor Afshin, we sure need you here. We're all going to be there at 1 o'clock. Was there a net? What made you show up? How did you know where to show up? Was it just the Holy Spirit to just, cause Pastor, evidently, I mean, right. You're not a law breaking guy. You're a law. So you showed up thinking, this is wrong. I think I ought to do something about it. Did you just show up to do something about it?
Yeah, exactly. So I got word from some of the local activists here. It's, for some reason, Spokane is in a battleground right now spiritually and politically. So we've got a lot, you know, we've got a lot happening, and there's a network of local activists, different groups like 500 Moms Strong by Anna Bohawk, who's now a friend of mine as a result of all this. And she's actually writing for Saved Magazine, which we'll talk about in a little bit too. But she's the one that alerted me to what was going on. I was shocked just to even hear about it. So we try to rally with a couple other pastors in the area that I know.
Let me stop you right there, because you just said something. Boy, bells went off in my head. And please, yeah. This is not to offend you, okay? You just said you were unaware or something along that line. Hey, Pastor, how can pastors be unaware of what's going on?
I mean, I didn't know they were coming, that it was scheduled to, cause this was something that Spokane has never seen before. And we got word about 10 days before, we got word that they're going to be out here reading to kids. And I thought, man, you know, and so that's when we started to organize And we thought, let's do a sit-in protest. Let's take over. Let's not just go there and just do some kind of fruitless, you know, shouting match between protesters and counter-protesters. Let's actually try to stop this event, was my goal. I didn't want kids, you know, being read to by these, what I consider to be, you know, perverts that are grooming these little kids into this kind of, you know, perverted lifestyle. So I thought, let's show up. And of course, peaceably, you know, I just thought just this old fashioned sit in protest where you just, if we could occupy the space when there's no room for the kids to read. So we try to organize, you know.
Go ahead,
Coach.
No, you tried to organize, and you just thought you would come there and go in. You tried to go into the building. Isn't that right, Pastor? You wanted to go in? Folks, understand this. This is not a guy who is like his – he's not like me. He's not like – he doesn't – oh, he's not like Dale Socha running from one event, you know, lifting up the name of the Lord. I'm not making fun of you, Pastor. He's not by nature an activist kind of guy. And so he just shows up because it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. And Pastor, I know when you left your house, you never dreamed you would be arrested. You didn't go down there to get arrested, right? You just went down there to stand up for what is clear. You were in your right mind. You were in your right mind, said, this is wrong. We can't let this go. Am I painting the right scenario here, Pastor?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I felt compelled. I was like, I prayed about it. I was like, I have to do something, and I was hoping more men would stand with me and do something about it. The problem was about maybe 5 days before or so, the public library, which is putting on this event and co-sponsoring it with our tax dollars, they announced that you can't go in unless you have a child with you. And I didn't want to subject my own kids to this kind of visual assault, you know, on their minds. And so I thought, oh man, well, This protest isn't going to, the sit-in isn't going to happen. It was starting to look like, you know, days before the event, that's, we're going to have to change our strategy. So at that point, just kind of feeling like, oh man, we're not going to win this one. What's going to happen? I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I just felt like God was like, just show up. That's all you have to do, because that's what people aren't doing. They're not showing up, you know. And so he said, just show up. And so, and just in my spirit, I'm not talking about some, like, you know, I didn't hear some audible, you know, voice of God. Just in your spirit, it just resonated in my soul that the church isn't showing up. And so I showed up, and Coach, within 10 minutes, I was arrested and taken off the scene. And there's a lot that happened in those 10 minutes, but it was quick.
And it does happen fast. Jared, real quickly, click on the, it says arrested in Washington. I'm going to show a little video of this, Pastor, if you can, real quick. This happened on June 18th, I think it was. And by the way, the charges were just dropped against Pastor Ashton. In December, I think they were. I think I saw that they were dropped. Let people see this. This was in the Spokane again. Hey, folks, there's good things going on at Spokane, Washington. They have the Church of Planned Parenthood that meets regularly there. They're fighting hard against abortion. So a lot of good things are going on in that dark, dark Northwest up there. So here's a brief little video of Pastor being arrested, or the story at least about him being arrested at this drag queen hour after we get through all the commercials here. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth before this plays. Anybody got a question for Pastor before we do it? So hang on a second. This is awesome. He's of Iranian descent. Pastor Afshin is of came here as a young boy. So this is, how do I say this? This is a unique situation that he would be the guy that would be arrested here. Play this little clip, Jared.
Here on South Perry Street, we've got protesters on one side, supporters on the other, all this with a crowd that doesn't seem like...
Hang on, Jared, stop that. Do you get it, folks? Pastor Afshin is a protester. The other people are supporters. They're supporters. See, Pastor Afshin is a supporter. He's a supporter of truth, justice, and righteousness. He's not a protester. He's a supporter. The others are protesters against Christ and everything righteous. Watch the wording of what they do to us. Go ahead.
Like it's thinning out anytime soon. All this just before the Drag Queen Story Hour.
Man lost darkness. And that's right.
For a type of place that's typically known for its quiet atmosphere, the South Hill Library was quite the exception. It's been weeks of controversy leading up to today, and this is the height of it all. Police taped off parts of the sidewalks and kept a close eye on all of the activity. Both sides of the street were filled with people, protesters standing across from supporters.
It shows me that I can be strong enough to stand up for truth and righteousness. I don't have to sit at my home and hope somebody else will do it for me.
We want to make it known that we're supportive of anyone at the library that wants to celebrate learning and children and positive things like celebrating your uniqueness.
With all the noise from outside, you wouldn't think the main event was a story time for the library, but this didn't stop things. Instead, hundreds of parents and their children lined the sidewalks outside the library as they waited for the story time to begin.
I believe in teaching my children about diversity. We believe as a family about diversity and individuality. And we just think that it's very important to have a family that celebrates everybody, whether they look like us or not.
And once parents were inside to document what they say was a valuable moment for them and their children.
It's important raising a family to make sure that they're exposed to a lot of diversity and know how to respond to people.
By the end of the story time, more parents and children were still sitting outside of the room, hoping for a second round of reading. There wasn't another, but some of the queens said they would sit outside and continue reading to some of the children. Now, there will be another reading next Saturday. That will be at the downtown library location. In Spokane, Gina Walt.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And they clearly don't have a sound mind. So, Pastor Ashton, you show up. What did you think when you first got here and saw the people outside? What was your reaction, Pastor?
Man, I mean, first of all, you nailed it, Coach, because I wasn't there to protest at that point. I was just, I wanted to minister. I wanted to maybe tell the kids inside to, you know, that they love Jesus, that Jesus loves them, and do anything that I could to protect those kids. And, you know, this wasn't about politics at this point. It was about Jesus and doing the right thing. And when I got there, I didn't know it at the time, but I was greeted by snipers that were on the roof of our public library pointed in one direction, and that was at the Christian conservatives. Okay, so I didn't know they were there at the time, but we had SWAT snipers on the roof of a public library in case, you know, the Christian domestic terrorists, as they like to call us, get out of line. And when I got there, there was heavy police presence. I got there 2 hours before the event. Our local papers say there were about 40 police officers plus SWAT there. I immediately was told as soon as I walked up to the sidewalk that I wasn't going to be able to go in the library that day. And I asked, you know, why, basically. And they said, well, because it's if you're not for the drag queen side, if you're not for the LGBT ideology, you cannot enter the library that day.
Wow.
I was shocked. Yeah. So they were literally asking people, what side are you on? What do you believe? Are you for this or are you against this? It was preposterous.
So what led to the arrest? Did you do a sit-in? Did you say, what happened, Pastor? Listen, Pastor, God, I'm just going to be honest. You don't sound very scary to me. You don't sound very scary.
No, I'm pretty reasonable guy, you know. And so it was crazy. I mean, I simply try to enter. So at this point, I see all the police there. I could see they're not going to let me in. They've already blockaded and barricaded the library. They've sectioned it off. But it's my mission to go inside that library. That was the one thing that I knew I was there to do, was to go inside, you know, and pray and observe or whatever. So I wasn't going to go away. And I believe that it was my right as under the First Amendment to be in a public forum and be in my public library, whether I agreed with whatever event was going on there or not. And I was told that I have to move to the free speech zones that they'd set up, far removed from the library, across the street, under time, place, and manner restrictions is what they call it. I didn't agree. I thought, you know what? I'm pretty sure the whole U.S. States, you know, every inch of ground is a free speech zone. And there are some legal precedences that they've set up for time, place, and manner, but this particular event, without getting into the legal technicalities that we went through in court, I don't believe that they had proper time, place, and manner restrictions and guidelines set up. It was unequal access. The whole thing was unequal.
It was viewpoint discrimination, which is prohibited by the First Amendment. They couldn't tell you can't come in just because you don't agree with the message.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we argued in court. And I tried to explain that to the officers who were blocking. I was being obstructed from entering the library, but I told them, I said, you know, I'd like to enter. Can I please enter my public library? I'm a U.S. citizen. It's my right to enter my library. And they said, no, you need to move across the street or you will be arrested. And I couldn't do it. I just stood my ground and I told them, well, then after they kept repeating it, you know, that we're going to arrest you, I said, well, then you're going to have to arrest me. And within minutes, I was in handcuffs and I handed over to SWAT.
So, okay, now listen, I got to ask you something, Pastor. Now, what's the reaction shortly thereafter of your pastor buddies? Did they come to your defense, Pastor, or were they a little bit more chastising in their approach that you probably shouldn't have done that? What was the reaction?
Well, you know, thankfully that two or three pastors that I know here, because I'm about 5 years or 4 years in Spokane, I'm fairly newer to the area, and I'm starting to meet some of the other pastors. Thankfully, the two or three that I do know are men like, you know, Pastor Ken Peters and others from the Church of Planned Parenthood. And so they were supportive, of course. But that it's the absence of the church and the pastors at the event itself. You know, I mean, it was just a couple of us in terms of the pastors, you know. Where were the other pastors to begin with?
Listen here, Pastor Ashton, you big talker. You hadn't been there before either. So, you know, it's hard for us to point fingers. We say on this show, Pastor, that you cannot teach what you have not done. Had you ever been arrested before, Pastor?
No, this was my very first.
So you got through that scary window too, didn't you? So you're not as scared now, probably, if something would come up. You know that you will survive being arrested, right? That mentality of stepping through that door changed the way that you don't want to get arrested. You don't really want to have to go through that hassle, but you're not afraid to do it anymore because you know what's on the other side. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously I don't want to get arrested, but it's a reality that Christians are going to have to face today if we're going to stand up for the word of God. You know, I mean, it says that you will be persecuted. It's a promise.
I don't want to tell you a secret. I don't want to ruin it for everybody else out there. But Jesus was arrested. You guys know that? You know Jesus was arrested? We talk about Paul. You know they took Jesus to jail? he didn't even get much of a hearing. They arrested him. They took him to Pilate, and they killed him. He didn't have a chance to even call a defense attorney, right? So this idea, see, Jesus stood up. They say, well, Jesus didn't stand up. He didn't go out and fight with the government. Yes, he did. The government over Jesus was not the Romans. It was the Sanhedrin. It was the political elite. That's whose authority he was under. That's why he said to Pilate, you have no authority over me. Jesus' fight wasn't with Pilate. It wasn't with the Romans. Jesus' fight was with the what? Oh, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crew of his day. That's where his fight was, right? And that's the same fight, same battle that we're fighting today. Folks, our fight is, we know this, our fight is not a natural one. It's a spiritual one that manifests itself in the natural. And Pastor Ashton had to show up because why? young kids, Jesus said that it would be better for you if they put a millstone around your neck than to allow even one of these little ones who believe in me to be deceived. That's what it says. So pastor, as a man of God, said, I got to go. I have to go interpose. I cannot let this happen. Now, pastor, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let some other guys come in here. Pastor, why aren't other pastors, why don't they see it like you saw it? You had never done this before. You're not a rabble rouser. You just showed up. This is wrong. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the condition of the church. I think we're in what's called the falling away period, you know, in the Bible that talks about, you know, before the man of sin, the Antichrist is revealed, the world and the church is going to go through the falling away, the great apostasia. And I think that's what we're seeing right now is, you know, with all the churches, you know, even welcoming drag queens now in some churches, so-called churches, you know, I mean, this is a major problem in America. This is what we're battling.
Okay,
spiritually.
So Pastor, I don't know Pastor Ken Peters. I know of him. I have great respect for him. The Church of Planned Parenthood there in Spokane. Hey, yeah. Pastor, how come every church in Spokane's not joined the Church of Planned Parenthood? What do you think? What's your take on that? Wouldn't this be an obvious move of God to end abortion in Spokane? Why aren't other ministers getting involved with it, you think?
There's many reasons, I would imagine, among them fear, like you mentioned, fear of losing the tithe, fear of losing members, fear of, you know, others, not just fear, but also this idea that Christians aren't supposed to get involved in world affairs and government or politics. But, you know, that's false. I mean, this isn't politics. This is just doing the right thing and being the salt and the light.
Amen. I'll shut up a minute. Somebody want? I got a question for Pastor Ashton here.
Yeah, I do, Coach.
Yes, sir. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, I recently went to a drag queen story hour in New Orleans, and we were forced out as well. There was a security guard in there, and he forced us out. He wouldn't let us in. So this is what's happening to you. They won't let you in. What's your take on that? What are we going to do to fight this? Why can't we get inside, or should we force our way inside? We ended up outside street preaching to them, but why they deny us to go inside.
Ray, let's flip the script here. Let's flip the script. Would they have prevented the homosexuals from coming into a church meeting that was going on in the library? I say they probably did not. What do you think, Pastor Ashton?
I don't think they would. I think there's clear discrimination now against Christians. I think the only, you know, there's a lot of bigotry against Christians. We need to flip the script and start standing up. You know, every other group in the universe right now is standing up for their rights, except the Christian. You know, we're the only ones that aren't saying, hey, it's our right, you know, and we need to be doing that.
Yeah, but Pastor, what we say is, well, it's just a sign of the end. That's what the Bible said. That's how it's going to be in the end time. That's basically our reaction, right? It's crazy. You
know, hey, Coach,
yeah.
Pastor,
yeah,
what does the other side do when they're in a circumstance like this, when they're kept from doing something? Man, they take it to court. We should already have our cases filed in civil court that they are depriving us of our constitutional rights as citizens.
You don't want them to bake you. Right. You just want to be able to go in the door. Crazy. It's crazy. Hey, listen, let me do real quickly before time gets away from us. I want to continue this conversation, but I want to see you two things. Number one, savedmagazine.com. Jared, could you throw that up on the screen?
Yeah.
Pastor Afshin started a magazine called Saved Magazine. The website is savedmag.com, and it published this quarterly. And I got to tell you, folks, Randy Mitchell, who knows Pastor Ashton, gave me some of these when I was out in Portland. This is good. This thing is well put together. It's glossy. It's hard hitting. And Pastor Ashton started Saved Mag. Tell us that story, Pastor. What got you to doing that?
Yeah, great. I you know, the thing with Saved Magazine, I wish people could see it on, you know, that are listening in or watching, because
I've got one upstairs.
Great. It's the quality, the print, the hard hitting nature of it that you talked about. All the things that we're talking about, you know, between the gospel, abortion, gun rights, vaccines, like forced mandated vaccines, drag queens, everything. You know, it's all covered. Liberty issues. And we're not like a fluff piece like Christianity Amen. Today or, you know, Amen. Where it's just, you know, how to get along with your boss at work or some other, you know, just noncommittal thing. These are the issues that we need to be talking about. We're not afraid to cover them. The issue that you're in, Coach, I'm very excited about this upcoming issue, issue 4, that Coach Dave has written for us in a featured prominent position at the section called The Last Word. It's the last main article in the magazine, which is a coveted spot in Saved Magazine that we give selectively out to people, and it's a great issue. It's called Taking Back the Rainbow. So I actually tell my story in this. I write about it. It's all about this one particular issue covered from many different angles. And the great thing about our magazine is that we're thematic. So each quarterly issue covers a major topic, you know, like issue 1 was all about abortion and abolitionism and child sacrifice and what that looks like in our culture. You know, this issue is dealing with the whole LGBT, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And man, I hope we won't get in too much trouble with this one coming up.
Article books that I wrote, Lord Teach My Hand to War, the pastor often got a hold of me and said, Mike, can I use that one? I said, oh, absolutely. Jared, click on the one that's on the screen right now. Because folks, listen, this is the real deal. Look at the titles. Bringing the Church to the Gates of Hell. Go back just to the cover, Jared. I'm sorry. Look, this isn't some fluffy feel-good magazine. Bringing Church to the Gates of Hell. Power and Principalities. Sanger, Devil, and Disciple. Behind the Pulpit. These are, folks, this is good. How do they get issues? How do they get some of these, Pastor?
Well, yeah, I really appreciate that, because we really are subscription driven. And so just subscribing helps us out greatly. And just go to savedmag.com and people can subscribe. We also do activist packs, where these are great for handing out. The purpose of these magazines isn't just to read and throw away. So what we do is, you know, get copies, hand them out when you're out there preaching the gospel. Give them to friends. You know, the idea is to have a tool in your hand to share the gospel with, to share the truth with. So that's a great way to do it. You know, just help, get involved. Get, you know, we want the Christian community to join us. We, you know, we have a call out for writers, for marketers, for web guys. I mean, we want to build this. We're still in the process of building this magazine. You know, it's still yeah. We're just coming awesome. In to our fourth issue. So.
Rob Pugh, I hope you listen to Rob Pugh. Maybe he can make a connection here with Ashton and get this. This is really, really good stuff, folks. And I imagine getting a pile of 24 of them and handing them out to people in your church. Huh? Pastor will let you do that probably one time, then he'll catch on to it and you'll stop it. But this would be a good way to red pill people. Now, hang on one more thing. Jared, yeah. Click on Ashton's YouTube page if you could real quickly. Because, folks, if you want to know more about him or you know, we don't have him on by video today, so you guys can't see who is this guy we're talking about. As I said, he's of Iranian descent. He came here as a young child. He's an American. He's lived his whole life here in America. But he has his own YouTube channel as well, but you got to be able to got to know how to find it. Did you click on it there, Jared, or have you? Because on my screen, it's still the Saved Magazine thing. And you can subscribe. It says, do you not have it, Jared? Maybe I didn't send it to you. There, the YouTube channel's on the screen. Okay, there you are, folks. And so, do they find you there, Pastor? Do they find you under Saved? Yeah. If you were to go to YouTube, how would they find you?
Yeah, you would search my name. It's hard to spell, but just searching my name is, you can get my YouTube channel and have all my weekly sermons are there. And they're not your basic sermons either. You know, I touch on these, you know, difficult topics in the sermons from a biblical perspective also. You know, we need to be free as ministers to speak the truth, you know, and not be restricted by what you can and can't say. So go to YouTube. I appreciate the subscriptions there also under my name, A-F-S-H-I-N, last name Y-A-G-H-T-I-N. So kind of hard to search because of the spelling, but, you know, just search my name and I'll come up there, and I appreciate the subscriptions there as well.
Amen. So we support what you do, Pastor, and we want to try that. This, folks, this magazine's unbelievable. It's the same type of thing Rob Pugh does. This ain't fluff stuff. This is hard hitting gospel stuff. So I know he could use your support. Man, you could order some of these and hand them out to others. Okay, I'm going to shut up because I've trampled all over him about 10 times. And those who want to ask a question, I'll shut up for a minute and let somebody get in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I know Pastor Bill has done Rob Pugh's magazines at our church, a stack of them each month are on standing order. So I'm going to share this with him, to send him the website, and he can do this at our church. But I'm also going to order and be a subscriber and put half a dozen or dozen of these in my car lot, because I get people come in there wanting to grab this stuff. They grab Rob Pugh's newspapers out of my car lot. So it's going in my car lot office.
Yeah, this is it, folks. This is edgy.
That helps a lot.
This is edgy Christian stuff, which is, it's not, folks, it's not edgy. But see, it seems edgy because the churches don't deal with this issue. So therefore, it seems edgy, but it's not. It's at the heart of the gospel. Those of you listening to the show, you get it. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is a great evangelistic tool that you can get the saved with. I'm going to say that again, that you can help those who think they're saved maybe really get saved, really get engaged, really begin to make a difference. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
I think that question you asked, why didn't those other preachers get involved? I think it's because they're not there. Either two reasons. One, they're either not hearing the Holy Spirit, or two, they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. We got to get past the idea that not all pastors are pastors of the Lord.
Well, Rich, that's a great point. Hey, Rich sent me an email about that yesterday. Pastor Ashton, you heard the Holy Spirit told you to go to that drag queen thing. You go. And you said you were compelled. Yeah. You couldn't get away from it. Why are other pastors not hearing from the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit not listening? Are people not listening to the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit just pick you? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm a, you know, pastor that I get into the word. You know, my final authority is in the written word of God. And it's not like some wishy-washy thing, but the Spirit does speak and compels and moves us to act. And I can't, other than I think what the last, you know, comment person that just said, it's true. They either aren't listening to the Spirit because they're not actively engaged, or they don't have the Spirit. There are a lot of counterfeit Christians. There are a lot of, you know, I mean, it's, we're in a very dire situation in the church in America. Uh-huh. And that's an issue. You know, I think that's what's causing a lot of this. So Pastor, I hope this will wake a few people up.
Pastor Yogden, let me ask you this. What has this experience done to and for you personally, you? This arrest, this attention that's come. And, you know, I know the Pacific Justice Institute, I think is their name. I know they defended you and all this.
Yes.
But what, over the last 6 months, how has this impacted you?
Yeah, I mean, I would give you a Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So this is light. This is nothing. They used to throw Christians to lions, you know, and people are afraid to just speak up. Just tell them, you know, it's wrong. It's an abomination to God. That's what the word of God says. I'm not saying go out there and be hateful. And, you know, we got to love them to bring them into the kingdom and preach to them the gospel. But we have to stand on the truth. And God's word is very clear on this issue.
This is one of the issues we deal with regularly on our show. I agree we're to love them, but at the same time, Pastor, I'm to protect the innocent, right?
That's
so those
right.
two things come in conflict, right? You didn't show up because you hated the guys who were drag queens. You didn't hate them, but you showed up because you loved those little children who were about to be influenced, right? And why is it right. we have a hard time? Why can't we get that a balanced understanding of those two issues?
Yeah, that's a huge issue too. I mean, the balance isn't there. It's, you know, I love those children far more than I, you know, I'm concerned about their protection. They're the victims. You know, when there's a crime, your sympathy That's right. needs to be towards the victims, not the criminal.
I'll say you it, know. Pat. I know it was on the tip of your tongue, although I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth.
No.
I love those little children more than the guys about to
That's
try.
Right.
Drag them into hell. I love those children more than I love him.
Amen, Coach. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's what I wanted to say. You're absolutely
I
right.
I can feel it. I can feel it. Somebody come on. Come on in here.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Went up in Washington State. This is what I have. There was a couple
Jeff
of
there. Jeff holding up one of magazines, Pastor. Save Mac. Jeff lives in Fallon, Nevada. And he
okay.
Right up, and he's holding up one of your saved magazines, so you already got a fan there.
Oh, awesome. So you've already know about it. That's great. Great to hear.
Amen. Amen. And I wouldn't have known about it had I not shown up out in Oregon that day. Somebody else, come on in. Pastor, you do, by the way, you do pastor a church. What's the name of your church?
Yeah, so we're New Covenant Baptists, and another way to get information about what I do in church is newcovenantbaptist.org. I did want to give a shout out to the Pacific Justice Institute that you mentioned. They have been, you know, they're a pro bono Christian constitutionalist law firm, and they have been just instrumental in this from the very beginning. They came alongside me, and they were willing to take this to the Supreme Court. We're still working on this. Keep me in your prayers. That's what I would ask, because the prosecution here has been relentless, because there's a political agenda, and they have not yet let this go. They're still trying to appeal and just throw the book at me at this point. So
let's dig into that. Why are they so relentless? It's clear they violated your rights. It's clear they did. Why are they so relentless, you think? We know why, right?
Yeah.
We know why.
We do. There's definitely an agenda. It's personal too. The prosecutor on the case is an atheist, Richard Dawkins fan, who called Christians wow. in the area religious loonies. While I was being prosecuted by him, he called us religious loonies on his social page.
So, folks, I mean,
that's what we're dealing with here.
I wonder if Christians need to get involved in elected office. I wonder if, because if we don't show up and get in those positions, well, atheists, Richard Dawkins fans end up in those positions. I wonder if they end up
that's
in those
right.
positions. If that changes the policy at all, huh? Wonder about that one, Coach. We're just passing through. This place is not our home. We're just passing through. Holy smoke!
Well, Pastor, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when someone asked why is the church so dead, missing it, and you said, you know, it's a falling away from the truth. They're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was to be sent to teach us and to sanctify us and set us apart from the world. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, sanctification. And the pastors are resisting this. Therefore, they're not being led. They're not being taught. They're resisting the Holy Spirit and resisting the Spirit of truth. Truth is falling in the streets, just like the coach says. It's a really difficult time we're in.
Pastor Yogden,
yes,
Robert Klaus, who's speaking to you, there's an author, and every day on our show, he's written a daily devotional called Finders of Truth, Keepers of Faith. And we have him every day read his daily crumb to us here. This is a powerful, powerful book. And so today is what, January 17th? And his little daily crumb to us today, Robert, go ahead and read that for us. Pastor, I don't know if you have your computer on the screen. You can see it on the screen. But if you just listen.
Yeah, this fits right in with what we're saying. This describes a true church. When you hear this, you're going to see how far we deviated from the New Testament church. It says, the quote, many so-called church growth experts experts don't realize that the stone which the builders rejected is still the stone that crushes and the cornerstone that remains.
Wow, it's all the same stone, huh? It's all the same.
Great, love it.
And this is an example. This is a picture of the real church, the church of the carpenter. Churches which exist, which exalt Jesus as Lord and Savior, where God is worshipped in spirit and truth, where the Holy Spirit is invited in to minister in power, where Savior-friendly saints assemble who are hungry for solid food and sound doctrine rather than for fast food and pastoral pastries, where believers crave to be filled with the living water rather than bottle-fed, there we will see true believers be in the church inside, regardless of what denominational sign may appear outside. Somewhat of a long sentence, but you get the gist. Wherever faithful believers assemble to be equipped to evangelize the lost with compassion, but without compromise, to proclaim the full gospel with boldness, yet without hesitation, where sin is exposed with love, yet without condemnation, where true disciples are made rather than pew dwellers counted.
Amen.
Where true repentance is preached with clarity, yet without regret. Where God's kingdom and righteousness is pursued above all, without hypocrisy. There we will see the true church in action, not being tossed here and there by every wind of the sea.
Amen, Robert.
Amen.
Amen.
We've got about, we should get you in Saved Magazine. That was really good.
Well, I'll send you that. It's a powerful book. I'll email it to you, Pastor, when we get off.
Oh, that would be great. Appreciate that.
Got about 4 minutes here, Pastor. What would you say? What would you say to the pastors who are out there right now lurking? They're listening. They're not part of the queue. They don't let people know they're in here. Sometimes they get mad because we go pretty hard after them sometimes. And I use the illustration, Pastor, that if the football team isn't performing well, they don't fire the players. They fire the coach. And so those pastors that are out there lurking and wondering what they can do to build a bigger church, whatever they want. Speak to those guys a second, if you would, Pastor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough job being a pastor. So, you know, I feel for him in that sense, but it's just critical right now because we're at a precipice, you know, and things are going to go one way or another. We're either going to have a mini revival and a miracle is what it's going to take. And we're going to get a little bit more time or we're just going to head further down into the abyss. And it's just, we're at that time right now where just, you know, my advice is just, anything that you can do to speak up, you know, and say something and not be afraid, not to focus on the numbers and all of that. Just, you know, you have a duty by God to preach the word and to stand for righteousness. That's what the church is for. I mean, they know this. The thing is they know. And so it's just a matter of, you know, coming out of that fear zone or whatever it is that's holding them back. And the other admonition is the politics. You know, pastors have this idea that they're just not supposed to get involved in any of this. You know, that it's just focus on teaching the Bible and, you know, and that's it. But that's a mistake. You know, we lost members in our church because I went to the Drag Queen Story Hour, because I go to Planned Parenthood. Wow. We had practically a church split because of it, because we took a stand for Christ. So, But God has now blessed us with so much more, and new members and different members. So they have to take a stand.
Listen, Pastor, you're doing it for the applause of two nail scarred hands. Anyway, you're not doing it for the approval in there. Hey, Jared, do me real quick. Throw savedmag.com up there again, folks. You can really help Pastor Yogton if you become a subscriber. Save Magazine. You can buy more than one copy. If some of you would like to contact him, just email me. Say, Coach, how do I get a hold of that guy? And I'll give you his email.
And I'll throw up my email if that's okay with you, Coach. I'll just throw it out there. Yeah. It's afshin@savedmag.com. So afshin@savedmag.com.
Afshin at save. Hey, folks, email me if you want to. I'll get that direct link to him. And Kevin Bushy, old Sarge, just put in there. I lost to Kevin. I saw it pop up there in the chat. He said, where was it, Kevin? We're talking about the I'm at the wrong end of it. Who is the remnant? That's what he's talking about, too. Kevin says, watch Coach Daily, read Saved Magazine, create leaders by attending a free class on how to lead. And he's got a link there. Come on, folks. Listen, we got to do it. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I always said when I was coaching, when the game was on the line, I remember I called timeout. Bear with me a second. Game's on the line. It's 4th and 1, and I'd call timeout. We'd go out in the huddle, and I would go through every assignment to make sure you stay low and drive your feet, keep your head up, and tell the linebackers check your key. Don't run with the play. Stay in. Fill your hole. The outside guys contain. Defensive back, step up and read your keys. And then I would say this, just as we were ready to break the huddle, I would say, "Get your hands in here. Hands in there. Everybody, get your hands in there." And I'd say, "Listen, look here, look here. Somebody make a play." God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.